Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Conservative Talk Radio. I'm your host, Chauncey Brown, and today we have Virginia's U.S. congressional candidate, Major Mike Webb, in the studio. Good evening, sir. How are you? Or good afternoon. I'm
How are
sorry.
You doing, Chauncey?
I'm doing well, Major. Please let me give the audience just a brief clips of who you are, and then you can explain who you are. You are a native of New Jersey, my home state, and I believe you transplanted to Virginia in 2008, and you retired from the armed forces. We want to really thank you for coming on to the show. We want to thank you for your service to our country, and we want to thank you again for wanting to step up to the plate and represent our country in the U.S. Congress. We're blessed to have you on the show. And if you don't mind, just tell us a little bit about yourself so the American people can get a chance to get to know who Major Mike Webb is.
Sure. You always get that wonderful introduction in terms of, well, who are you and all this, and you end up coming with a whole bunch of different kind of speeches. But I like the way that Mike Pence introduces himself. He sits there and he says, I am first a Christian, second a conservative, and third a Republican, in that order. And that basically is where I am. I'm just a son of a preacher's kid who was a son of a preacher's kid. Grew up in the church, had a strong family and that whole kind of thing. And for a long, long time, I literally thought about the ministry. My dad wanted me to go to the ministry. I had a lot of pressure to go to the ministry. But I don't think that that is really my calling. I've always enjoyed engaging in the community, in the political sphere. And it took a long, long time to see how I could reconcile the two. But now I seem to be pretty much on that path, really just trying to bring Christian leadership to America, bring back to America.
It's very, very important to bring back religion into our society, and it's a shame that the country has moved far left, or I should say left. Religion, I'm very religious as well. I grew up in the church as well. Our moral compass of this country definitely needs a realignment. And it's great to hear that you're a candidate that's for the realignment movement.
Sure.
What else is there about politics that made you want to run for office? In Virginia.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Dad was a pastor of a building large church, so he was kind of in the center of politics. A little
bit okay.
of first opportunity to come down to D.C. He had been made the state chaplain for the New Jersey National Guard, president of the American Baptist in New Jersey, executive board member for the American Baptist USA. And so he was kind of in that spotlight, and he was a Republican when we were all Republicans. And Richard Nixon had Bob Haldeman reach out to my dad and say, Irvin Webb, I want you to come down to Washington and interview for a job at the White House chaplain. So suddenly, my first trip to D.C., I'm sitting in the West Wing looking at this guy in a pre-cut. And dad was very much separation of church and state. He would not endorse candidates. He would not talk politics, the whole thing. He knew that he did not want that job, but he also realized that when he went to Washington, there was only one other place where he could go from colonel as a chaplain, and that was that one star as the chief of all chaplains of the National Guard. And he knew that when he went down to talk to his commander-in-chief, because he couldn't not talk to his commander-in-chief like some people like to do today, he knew that when he said that he was not going to take that job, he was not going to get that one star. But he was willing to do that. He took the whole family down. I got to see politics, and I was like, wow, Dad, how could you give this all? My godfather, my dad's son in ministry, Bill Gray, he was able to somehow do both. He took over his dad's 5,000-member Baptist church in Philadelphia, and had he not been in Philadelphia, he would have been a Republican. But he went off involved, and he became a congressman from Philadelphia, and worked a lot with the Republicans. Became the first African American majority whip, and also first African American chairman of the Budget Committee. And he was able to do both. But I mean, there's always a strain. I mean, like you're in D.C. and you have a church all the way up in Philadelphia. There's only so much that you can do in terms of paying attention to the church. So you really have to be in one world or the other one. And I've just been around politics since really I was knee high to a grasshopper. And once you get that bug,
I understand.
You're not going to let it go. But the funny thing is that. Oh, yeah. The funny thing was that my dad had the big showdown up in Harlem, making me go into the ministry. It was me sitting at they lured me over to Abyssinia Baptist Church with the temptation of I was going to go to Sylvia's after to get some wonderful soul food. And after church, we go up to the study. I'm sitting there with Cal Butts. I'm sitting there with Sam Butts and my dad, and they're trying to wrestle me to go into the ministry and go ahead with it. And finally, Sam Prophet threw up his hands and said, well, Mike, you know, too bad the devil's got him because the Lord can search me. I think he's using me in his own way.
I come from a political background as well. My dad was
Republican. Your dad, and oh yeah, sure.
You know, the bug is in me, and that's why now, you know, we have the conservative talk radio show where we're blessed to, you know, interview, you know, persons like yourself, to increase our visibility of our conservatism, of our moral values, of Christianity or religion. Our Judeo-Christian values. I'm Jewish, so that's why I had to say Judeo-Christian, because I'm Jewish.
Definitely. Well, the funny thing is, I am one-eighth Jewish. My mother's grandfather was a guy by the name of John Hartzog, who was over in Germany, of all places, when it was not a good time to be Jewish in Germany. Immigrating to Virginia, Danville, Virginia, where he met my mom's grandma at a dance, and from the frying pan to the fire. We have actually both camps inside our family heritage.
Awesome. Well, for those that are listening into the show, this is Conservative Talk Radio. I'm yours, Chauncey Brown, and in the studio we're blessed to have U.S. congressional candidate Virginia for the 8th District, Major Mike Webb. Let's move to some of the issues that's going on in Virginia that you're concerned about, that if you make it to Congress, you'd like to address.
Sure. Unfortunately, a lot of things are going on right now in Virginia. So we end up making the news with a blackface governor and attorney general. And also infanticide, which is really, really actually serves as a spark for a lot of people, especially in the faith community. They were able to tolerate abortion, but when they started pushing the lines with infanticide, that really, really got more people out and really wanted to get involved outside of synagogues, outside of churches, outside of meeting houses, and actually engaged in politics. But I initially really kind of got into politics because of education. Public schools, up in New Jersey, same thing down here. We have a big problem, especially with the achievement gap. But we have achievement gap leveled on top of the fact that we have got underperforming. 50% of our public schools are underperforming. 50% of my kids can't read, write, or do arithmetic at grade level. Even when they were doing Brown v. Board of Education, I picked up this one. He said that perhaps the most important function of state and local government is education, because you cannot do anything without it. You can't join the military. You can't contribute to your community. You can't make changes to science if you don't have an education.
Right. So that education is one of your main issues?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. My dad wearing many, many hats. My mom, she was a school teacher until the kids came along. So she ended up coming out and becoming a full-time homemaker. But we ended up benefiting from the fact that mom knew the school teacher thing. So she was able to help with the homework and all that. Dad was in education, but he was more of an administrator. He did some guidance counselor stuff in Jersey City with Boynton High School, and then jumped over to a very affluent transfer in New Jersey in the middle school. Became the assistant principal for Westfield High School, another great school. But then Mayor Jordan, who was in the National Guard with him, became mayor of Jersey City, a very, very reform-minded mayor, and he wanted to start doing things in education. And he reached out to my dad and said, I want you to come over to Jersey City as my assistant superintendent, and there's one thing I want you to do. You don't do anything else. I want you to build the first magnet high school here in New Jersey. It was poison. It was one of those ideas that you've got to keep conservative, don't keep Republican. And so Dad, he got his faith part, and started the other fellow, over at St. Peter's College with Rabbi Berlin. And all of his preacher mafia, and they started finding places where they could have classes for this high school. So we had stuff at the Jewish Community Center, we had stuff at St. Peter's College, we had stuff at St. Peter's Hall School, and so it was literally like a high school was all over Jersey City. But today it's number 48 in the country as a high school. Wouldn't happen in that year.
Exactly. What do you think currently? What's your position on national security in general? And then, if you want to, you can take a stab at the border in the conversation, if you like.
Sure. And it's all so intimate. We get so much of what we do is so intimately connected to national security. Obviously, being in the Army, I'm very, very strong on national security, but I spend most of my time in two things, force protection and force protection. I stood at the CI cell for the entire United States Army on the Tonga side of the United States when we had Oklahoma City, and also when we had the bombing in Atlanta. We have to be on guard. They push back against things like balls and looking at countries that are exporting terrorism. And I say, well, if you close those people out, then they're going to create a non-inclusive and all this kind of thing. If you're walking down the street, you see a guy that looks like a gangbanger, someone at you, you're not going to sit there and say, well, I'm going to be welcoming and inclusive. Change the way that he's coming at you. doesn't like to be on guard. You don't jump into a lion den and make that thing just loving him just gonna help you. A lot of people have pushed back against the idea of a wall. But the thing is that a wall is important. It is important because it serves as a signal. And it's not necessarily an unwelcoming signal to have the wall. So it's like when you're riding on the New Jersey Turnpike and you're by yourself and there's nobody to tell you that you should not be going at 120 miles an hour. If you see that cop, you're going to be reminded, okay, wait, I have to. Maybe after the
mm-hmm.
It's a very
right.
dangerous situation, even for immigrants, just by not sending out that signal that there is a process of what happened. Just last week, we got a guy from Kenya. Guy from Kenya, he decides, okay,
America's got sanctuary cities and all this kind of stuff. I'm just going to hop on a plane, hop in fact a landing gear, and come to America. Well, that's a very, very uncomfortable place to be. Also, it's going to be very, very cold. But he didn't get up to the coldness. He ended up falling out of the landing gear and running in somebody's backyard. We create that hazard for them by saying we are enabling them to engage in dangerous behaviors that creates a lot of these terrible things that we end up seeing, right, the people trying to come into America. We have to let them know that there's a process. If you follow the process, yes, there is a path to citizenship, but you have to follow that process.
What do you think currently about the Trump presidency? And do you think that you, representing the 5th, the 8th, I'm sorry, district in Virginia, would you be
sure.
a supporter of the president and be able to help move some of his policies forward?
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. Most definitely. And especially in districts like this, districts that are, you know, either majority Democrat or hegemony Democrat, we need those emissaries that are out there to kind of play the counterintelligence mode. If somebody is telling you that somebody is bad, then you're going to be inclined to believe that somebody is just bad and that they're just not going to accept anything from them. And so I'm in Northern Virginia, as the missionary, as the emissary, to let people know that there's another way of looking at politics. So there's two sides to every story, and we're making those connections slowly but surely, slowly but surely. I remember back when I was a kid, my mom and her cousin had a big fight. They were angry with one another, the whole family. Mom comes to the kids and she says, "Well, you can't talk to Aunt Janie." Well, you know, I mean, like you love Aunt Janie, the whole family. But Mama says, you know, no, she's now a bad place, and she's and it just became a very, very bad situation for us. We weren't even involved inside that, but I don't even know to this day why they were angry with each other. But we were instructed that we had to be angry. We have to make up our own mind, and this is true. I'm like, unless you are a politician in politics, this is not even the reason why you should have a political party. You should be going out, looking at the candidates, looking at your interests, and then making your informed decision in terms of, okay, this person is going to advance my interest. And unfortunately, we don't do that. I found out how badly we are at becoming informed when I ran in New Jersey back in 1991. I ran in the 31st Congressional Legislative District. It was a seat held by Joe Gloria and Joe Charles. And because of the demographics there, they decided that you have to have one black guy either running for Senate or running for state assembly. And we ran against them. We ended up inheriting a Democrat, the number two Democrat in the Republican Party, if he wanted revenge because he got fired. And he sat there and said, okay, well, I'm going to do everything that we can to stick it to the Democrats because I have a personal problem with the guys that are in charge. And he goes down to the courthouse, and Democrats in Hudson County have been in column A for 150 years. But somehow, when Aaron walked into that courthouse, he came out with the Republicans in column A. And I guess I was like, column A, column B, I don't understand. Why should I be happy about that? Because we were in column A. Because we're in column A and Bayonne, I beat the Speaker of the Assembly and the Mayor of Bayonne, Joe Doria, because we're in column A. They didn't even look at that. That's good.
Yes. In our final couple of minutes, that we
yes.
have on the show until we bring you back.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think about black conservatism in America today?
I think it is very, very important. Largely because the left has, they put us inside that position that I was in when I was a child with the volunteering of my mom. We're only listening to one parent, as it were. And I was thinking, okay, this is really great. But Jesse Jackson, the
invited to the Republican National Committee back in 1980, and that he started thinking more about black people instead of thinking about, I'm going to be president and all this kind of stuff. And when he addressed the Republican National Committee, he sat there and said, black people have to develop a strategy where one party doesn't take them for granted and the other one doesn't like them all. In politics, you have to be at the table. You have to be at the table. When you walk away from the table, you feel yourself out of the game. If you get really, really involved in politics, you know this very, very well. The minute that you walk away from the table at the dining at the meeting after the meeting, those guys are going to start talking about you behind your back. They're going to renegotiate every deal because you're no longer at the table. And black conservatives, they can bring one that balance to let people know that there are options, but also black conservatives. Right now, we have a moral basis behind us that we just need that for the country. This country we started off as a religious nation, and we had pilgrims up in Massachusetts and down in Virginia. We had Quakers in Pennsylvania. We had Catholics. In Maryland, we were a religious nation, and we need to have that basic core. Like in the military, one of the things we have to do is you got to go out on a land navigation course, and you're going to learn a lot about yourself and a lot about life going on a land navigation course, because they're going to give you a map, they're going to give you a compass, and you're going to learn your pace count. But the thing you're going to learn when you're on that course is that if you have that map and you have that compass and you start walking in a straight line to get to your point, one, you have a natural drift that's going to take you off that azimuth. You're going to start going to the left. You're going to start going to the right. And at some point, you're going to have to look down at that map again. You're going to have to look at that compass, and you're going to have to reorient to keep yourself on that road. Church does that. If you don't have any kind of moral book that's going to tell you what is right, when you get inside those gray areas, you're going to go the wrong way. Like you just will. We got a school board candidate right here in Arlington. Decided that she could embezzle to pay for the legal defense for my campaign. If you go to church, you got to remember, I don't commit felony.
Mm-hmm.
That's a basic rule. And conservatives, black conservatives especially, we have that in us. To this day, I thank God for the Church of God in Christ. They decided, even though they've got less money than any other denomination, they still are the largest black denomination, especially in the United States. And they said, well, we're going to take on the mission of adopting kids that are not wanted. God bless them. The spirit is willing. The flesh is definitely, because they don't have the affluence that an Abyssinia Baptist Church has or a Metropolitan has, but they're willing to take on that mission because God wants us to save children. And black conservatives were able to bring that message and then get us back on that life course.
We have to also work on educating our young people of the African American history within the Republican Party. I think the Republican Party falls short of reminding and putting that message out there of the rich history that the Republican Party has played over the course of this country's origin, even up until today, with policies being brought forward to advance African Americans. The Democrats have done a good job of spinning their history of racism and has applied that towards like Republicans are the racists, which in fact we know
it's true.
That it's the policies.
That's true. And the bad thing is that one, we have allowed them to basically take away our ways of reinforcing that history in terms of reinforcing those values. 50 years ago, when the war against poverty was just getting started, even on good times, they had a mom and a papa. They were living in the project, but it was a mom and a papa. Today, demonstrations from 25% of black kids have a mom and a papa. So you're not going to get that basic family history. We're not going to get those basic values from those. So what are we doing? We say, well, we can learn it in schools. Well, the schools, I mean, like, what is going to make them do that for you? They have no incentive to do that. And if they do it, it'll probably entirely go on. We need to have those families. And then move out to that next unit, go to your churches, go out to that next unit, go out to your civic organizations. We need to be building that structure to kind of reinforce those basic values, those basic ideas that kind of keep us right, and we let that stuff go away. And so we really have to rebuild. Over at the African American History Museum, they have got a certain section right there on the second level. These are the structures in the black community. And you simply look at it and you're like, yeah, it's in a museum and it's all gone. Family, churches, it's all gone. And if you don't have that, you're not gonna be able to do those things. If you don't have education, you're not going to be able to do those things. If you're only going to school to get a diploma and not to learn things, you're going to be an artist. You're not going to be able to take it to the next level. You're not going to be able to build.
For those who would like to donate to your campaign, volunteer to your campaign, or help out, what information can you share with the American people,
sure,
and the people from Virginia on how they can reach you or how they can donate or even volunteer their time to your campaign?
Yeah, definitely. Probably the easiest way in the world to get contact with me is to reach out to my email address, givefaithatry@gmail.com. We have a website that is currently under construction, and we have about five different accounts on Twitter because they keep shutting them down. we're literally fighting a war. But that was the best way. It's givefaithatry@gmail.com. Following on Twitter right now, we've got Major Mike Webb. At Major Mike Webb is the primary account. They shut us down because we were getting 1.2 million impressions every 20 days. It was at about 70,000 impressions per day. So there are definitely people listening.
Okay. Real quickly, what is your Facebook page as well? Because that's another good way to contact you is your Facebook page that they can follow and like if you want to provide that information as well.
Oh, sure. It's Major Mike Webb for U.S. Congress. Major Mike Webb for U.S. Congress. And we've been doing some good things on there in terms of instructional videos and things like that. And also some pretty more information that you generally get on Facebook in terms of trying to provide, I mean, like good, solid, information with sources that you can go and you can look up to make sure that it's correct, that you don't normally find on especially on social media.
Mike, I want to say thank you very much for being on the show today. We want to wish you luck in your future election, and we also would like to invite you back on to the show if you would before you run again, if that would be possible.
To give us
an update for all our listeners. This is this is Chauncey Brown. Please join us on July 11th. That is this Wednesday, I believe, at 4 o'clock or 11 o'clock for Dr. Willie J. Montag, Millennial Conservative Perspective. Also, you can follow us at Conservative Talk Radio on Facebook. Once again, we want to thank Major Mike Webb for being in the studio. He is running for United States Congress, Virginia, 8th District. We want to pray for America, pray for all its inhabitants, and everyone have a safe and blessed rest of the day. Once again, Mike Major, we want to thank you for being on the show, and we look forward
thank
to having you.
You
come back. Okay?
Definitely.
Okay,
God
take
bless.
Care. And okay, God bless you and God bless America. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay.